We started Hilchos Shabbos, and we spoke a little bit about Kibud V'Yoneg, but we switched to cover first the Inyanim of Dinei Chayla B'Shabbos. The Rambam emphasizes in Hilchos Shabbos that the Karaites didn't believe, and some of the Karaites didn't believe that Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos, because it's not really explicit in the Chumash. It's only drushes of the Torah Shebal Peh, so they never accepted the Torah Shebal Peh. So the Rambam says that one who doesn't follow the din, that Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos, is an apikiris. The days of the Rambam, that meant that he was from the Karaim who didn't accept the Torah Shebal Peh. So we just said the Simon Shin Chav Ches has all the dinim of Chayla B'Shabbos, and the Shulchan Aruch divides all of the people into four different categories. And the Chayla She'esh Bo Sakana doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to die today. I think I may have mentioned that a man told me that his wife was dying from cancer, and the Shaila was whether she should eat on Yom Kippur. So they asked the doctor if she'll fast on Yom Kippur, will she die? So the doctor said, no, she won't die. And then she died afterwards, and he was positive that she died much earlier than she would have otherwise died. The fact that she fasted on Yom Kippur contributed to her earlier death. If she would have eaten on Yom Kippur, she would have lived on another couple of weeks. That was a mistake. The doctor didn't understand the question. The doctor thought they wanted to know, is she going to die on Yom Kippur? Din is Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos, not only if you're afraid the person is going to die today on Shabbos, if you're afraid that by observing Shabbos, the person will die a day earlier or an hour earlier. It's also called Pikuach Nefesh, Chai Yishot, to live a little longer. Or the Shulchan Aruch has a case, it's a case from the Gemara. A person was in an accident and he's Vadai going to die anyway. But if you'll be Machal Shabbos, you will be able to extend his life, Chai Yishot, a little longer. So that's also Decha Shabbos, and the Mishnah Berurah emphasizes not only because the explanation given by the Meiri, that maybe the person in the last minutes, if you extend his life a little longer, another half hour, maybe he'll be Mahara B'Tshuva, and maybe he'll get a Mechilas Avinus, even if he's not conscious at all. The din is that Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos, even only for Chayisho. If you think that there's a chance of extending the person's life, so that's called Pikuach Nefesh, and it's Decha Shabbos. And even if it's only a suffix, and even if it's a svek sveke, even if it's a svek sveke, when you learn Yeridaya, the simon about svek sveke, simon kufyu, it's a summer of the opinion that whenever there's a svek sveke, there isn't even a later suffix. But by Pikuach Nefesh, Abshim and Shkop talks about it in his Sefer Shari Yosha. So he says by Pikuach Nefesh, even if there's a svek sveke, you're also Mechal Shabbos, because of the far out the possibility that maybe you'll accomplish a Pikuach Nefesh. It's all the Tanaim have different drushas, and the Gemara says the best drusha of all is the drusha from the Amoraim, not from the Tanaim. Each Tana has a different mark, and we paskin like the drusha from the Amoraim. V'chaybahem v'loshi amas behem, and v'loshi amas behem, Tosfos says, in any far out possibility. Even the Gemara says, l'hocha b'pikuach nefesh sachar harayif. Let's see, drive you, Mechal Shabbos, to drive the person to the hospital on Shabbos, even though the odds are 100 to 1 that he's probably going to die anyway, even if you bring him to the hospital. Or the odds are that he's going to survive anyway, even if you don't bring him to the hospital now, you can bring him after Shabbos, even though the odds are Ben Kovako is going to die, Ben Kovako is not going to die. Still, if there's a far-out chance that you may accomplish Pikuach Nefesh, so that's the din. Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos. Unless it's such a ridiculous suffix, it's so far out, one chance in a million. So that's not called a suffix sakana. That's ridiculous. But we just leaned on Simchas Torah, we just leaned Parshas Vezoy Sabracha. So in Vezoy Sabracha, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about the Hashivas of Shevet Levi. So he says, Uvrischa Yentzoru. He praises Shevet Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu was also from Shevet Levi. He praises the whole Shevet Levi that they observed Bris Milah when all of the other Shvatim did not observe Bris Milah. What does that mean? So the Gemara in Yevamos in Perek HaOral says that during the 40 years the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, the weather conditions were such that it was a little bit, it was a far out sofek sakana to perform a bris milah, it's a surgery, and the weather condition was such that they may not recover. It may develop to become a real sofek sakana. So all the other shvatim didn't want to observe bris milah. Only Shevet Levi observed, even though there was a sofek sakana. So it's not to be understood that Chasam Sofer and the Chuvus is bothered with Akasha. They had an Orthodox rabbi there by the name Moshe Rabbeinu. So he let everybody do whatever they want. Either Shevet Levi was right, he should have insisted all the other Shvatim should also observe Bris Milah, because they observed Bris Milah, nobody died. So they said, there's no Sofek Sakana. And if there were, really was a Sofek Sakana, how did he permit Shevet Levi to perform the Bris Milah? So the answer is, we may have mentioned it the last time when we started, the Gemara has the cloud based on the pasuk in Tehillim, Shaimer Psoim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects those foolish people who are not worried about the Sofek Sakana. What do you mean he protects them? So if a person puts himself into us, he jumps into a Sofek Sakana, he deserves to be punished, because we say in the davening, HaNasham Aloch V'Aguv Shaloch, we are not the balabatim on our lives to take our lives. We're not the balabatim on our bodies, not only to take our lives, to cause ourselves to become weaker, or to cause ourselves to get sick. It's a pikadon by us. Anushama lach v'aguf shalach. Our life belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Neshama is lihen. Neshama is on the asisi. The neshama and the body belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By us, we're supposed to be shamer on the body. We're not balabatim to cause ourselves to get sick. So if a person jumps into a situation of a suffering sakana, he's posheya. He's a shomer, his body is poshed, the neshama and the body belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he deserves to be punished because of that. So the Gemara says, but if it's nowhere near 50-50 Safik Sakana, and a lot of people, there's a significant percentage of the population who are not concerned about this. If you take a poll of 1,000 people, 999 would be concerned. And this one meshuga is not concerned, then he's doing wrong. Then you don't say shamer psaim hashem. But if you have 5-10% of the world population would not be concerned about this. So then they say shamer psaim hashem. If it's nowhere near, if it's something near 50-50, then you're not allowed to say shamer psaim hashem. That's a real suffix sakana. But if it's nowhere near 50-50, that's the halacha. Rabbi Chaim Oizer has a tshuva where he quotes several significant poskim who write like that. That whenever the suffix sakana is done when they're 50-50, then the din is that, then it depends. For those people who are concerned, it's considered a suffix sakana. For those who are not concerned, it's not considered suffix sakana. So let's say now there's a suffix sakana. Is it close to 50-50? 50% of the population in the communities is dying from this sickness? It's not 50-50. So some people are not concerned. They go around without masks. So we can't condemn them, okay? But those people who are concerned, so for them it is a suffix sakana. They should go with a mask and they should stay away from other people. And when the person is not concerned, is in the presence of the one who is concerned, then he has to act like there is a suffix sakana. He considers it nishkan suffix sakana. He wants to follow this din of Shem Epsayim Hashem. But the other fellow is concerned. So for the other fellow, it is a suffix sakana. So let's say there's a suffix sakana that's a far-fetched suffix sakana. And the one who's concerned is the one who's sick. And he's nervous about it. And the one who's going to drive him to the hospital is not concerned about it. He has no right to say, as far as I'm concerned, there's no suffix sakana. I'm not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. No, but for the other person, the other person is nervous about it. So if he's nervous, it is considered a suffix sakana. So therefore, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save his life, even though from your perspective, there's no suffix sakana. One is allowed and obligated to be mechal Shabbos to save someone else's life, even though my life is not in danger, but his life is considered in danger. He's the one who has to decide on his condition, whether it's a suffix sakana or not. So these are some of the dinim of pikuach nefesh is the Decha Shabbos. The din is whenever the Gemara says, let's say a person has to eat non-kosher food to save his life. The Jews in the concentration camp, they probably gave him tray for food. So the question is, Pikoch Nefesh is Decha Shabbos. Pikoch Nefesh is Decha Macholas Asuris. Pikoch Nefesh, Safik Sakan is Decha Kola Torah Kula. So what if I have a choice? Let's say I have to eat some food, otherwise I'm going to die. So I have a choice. I can either eat chazer, chazer is an isalav, or I can eat tevel, which has misa b'dei shamayim. If it's real tevel, bizman is trumas amaisis, the ramo and shulchan aruch yeredeya, paskin is that bizman is that trumas amaisis, and eretzol is only mid the rabbonim. So there's no misa b'dei shamayim. But bizman, the ramam holds that even bizman by sheni was only the rabbonim. Bizman by srishan, the trumas amaisis was really the araisa. So then there was taka din that one who eats tevel is onush misa b'dei shamayim. So if a person has a choice of either eating chazer or eating tevel, so eat the chazer is the lesser of the two evils. Or you can either eat tevel, which is misa b'dei shamayim, or eat chelev v'dam. Chelev v'dam has koris and tevel has misa b'dei shamayim. So the Gemara considers koris much more chomer than misa b'dei shamayim. The Gemara at the end of Ma'id Katan says that koris, in principle, a person should die at the age of 50. Misa b'dei shamayim, person should die at the age of 60. So the Gemara considers, the Bavli considers koris as being more chomer than misa b'dei shamayim. Avin Meiluim quotes a Yerushalmi that maybe contradicts the Bavli, but the Gemara has dinim based, we assume like the Bavli, that if you have a choice, you have to violate some isa or another in order to save your life. And one isa has koris, one isa has misa b'dei shamayim. So we say, machila mosa, we feed the person, hakal, hakal tchila. Let him violate the lesser of the two evils. Why should he violate the isa koris if he can save his life by only violating an isa lav? The Shulchan Aruch quotes the din from the Gemara that if you have a chole mesukan on Shabbos, and the doctors say that he has to eat some flesh, funny case, he has to eat some freshly, some meat in order to save his life. And if he doesn't eat the meat right away, today he may die. A rare case, theoretical case. So you have an alternative, either you could get a Jew to shech the behemoth for him, and then salt the meat and give him kosher meat, kosher geshacht and a flesh. Or you can go to the goyish restaurant and get nevela meat and give him nevela. So nevela is only an isalav. And to be mechal Shabbos, to shecht an animal on Shabbos is one of the lamentes of his malachas is ashechet. So that's an isa koris, an isa skila. So one would have thought that rather than shecht and lechol b'Shabbos, you would have thought that you should feed him nevela. The Gemara says not so. Shecht and lechol b'Shabbos instead of being machal nevela. So all the Bishanim ask, why should that be so? Why don't you apply the rule of machila mosa akal akal tchila? Why not violate the lesser of the two evils? The lesser of the two evils is the nevela as opposed to the chilul Shabbos. So there's a rush at the end of Yuma who discusses it. The rush quotes a Maharam Rutenberg. So the rush suggests, the rush has this discussion. We'll step back a little bit, one step. The Gemara has a din, if you have a korban tzibur, shezmana kavua, let's say t'midimu masafim, that if you don't bring it today, abo yama batla karbana, you can't bring it tomorrow. So the din is that has special status. A korban shezman, usually it's a korban tzibur. Once in a while you have a korban yochad, that's also zmana kavua, so it has the same din. So let's say the chavite kohen gadol, every day of the year he brings minchas chavitin. Or let's say the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur brings parachatas hashalom, pariyayil, from his own. So that's a korban yochid, but it's zman kavua. It's the same din as a korban tzibur. So the din is that a korban shezman kavua, we usually call it a korban tzibur, but it's the Mishnah in Temurah says that expression is a little bit inaccurate. It doesn't really depend on korban tzibur versus korban yochid. It depends on korban shezman kavua versus korban she'en zman kavua. Ruba, the overwhelming majority of the korbanos yochid are not zmanam kavua. And the overwhelming majority of the korbanos tzibur are zmanam kavua. So that's why we call it a korban tzibur. So korban tzibur is dechetumah. So the Gemara has a machlokes hamaroyim in the beginning of Yuman, Davov, Dav Zayin, and then it turns out to be a machlokes hatanoim, whether a korban tzibur, which is dechetumah, is that a pchin of dechuya. The iser of tumah is nitche because of the tzorach akrabas korban tzibur. Or is it hutra? Maybe melacha hutra means when the prohibition of Hakrovas Karbonas Betuma was formulated, this was an exception to the rule from the very outset. The prohibition not to be makor karbonis in the state of tumah just doesn't apply to karbon shezman kavur. So even if it's efshel l'kayim shneim, even if you can easily avoid being makor of the karbon in the state of tumah, it's still muta. It's hutra. It's heta gomer. Or should you say no? It's only duchuya. I mean, the koshi hitira hatorah, the tzorach hakrovas hakarbon allows you to, like esed dechel esese, something like that. Esed dechel esese is duchuya doicha. That's why the klal is, you only apply eser dechel esese, omer esh lokish, kol mokom shatamotz, eser velo esese, they're in conflict with each other. Imati ochel lekayim shneim mutav, if you can fulfill the eser without violating the law, do so. You have no right to violate the law unnecessarily. If you can mimikayim the eser without violating the law, there's no heter. You don't say eser dechel esese im law. If you can't be mekayim the eser without violating the law, then you have a eser yitchalo esese. Why? Because eser dechalo esese is a din of dechuya. That's why we call it decha. Some achrenim say that eser dechalo esese menatar is some galatian achrenim have this, that eser dechalo esese menatar is really hutra, and it's only a chumer midirabonon that you say if it's epshel lekayim shneim, you shouldn't violate the yisr. It's only dechuya midirabonon. Menatar it's really hutra. It's very difficult. The Pashtus in the Gemara is not so. Pashtus is that Eser Dechel Esese, that's Dechuya. And Korban Sibur, a Korban Shizmana Kavua, is Dechetuma, so that's a Machloikis in the Gemara, and the Rama Paskin's Dechuya. So that's a Shaila. What's the din? The Rishonim raised the question. What's the status of Pikoch Nefesh? Koch Nefesh is Dechet Shabbos, and Dechet Kol HaTarkul, or do you say no, Pikoch Nefesh, but Mokam Pikoch Nefesh, the dinim were never given. None of the dinim apply. It's hutra heta goma. So the Rosh, in the end of the very last Rosh in Maseches Yuma, quotes room to distinguish between Shabbos and Macholas Asuras. Maybe by Shabbos, which is, we usually explain the Rosh like the Shabbos is in Issa Gavra. So in Issa Gavra, if it's in conflict with the Pikuach Nefesh, so we say the whole din doesn't apply in the first place. It's hutra heta gomer. But macholas asuris, the cheftz is treif. What do you mean it doesn't apply? Macholas asuris have supernatural spiritual properties of poison. Just like if a person eats poison, he's going to get sick. Whether he eats the poison, m'shegig of emezid. So when a person does an aveira, it has a negative effect on him. It's like poison for the soul. So the din that Pikuach Nefesh allows you to eat Macholas Asuris. You can't say Hutra. The whole din doesn't apply. What do you mean? The Chepta has properties of Isser in it. So you have to say over there that it's Deicha, that the Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha the Isser. So that's how the Rosh explains. Shechten L'chayla B'Shabbos, it's better to violate Chilu Shabbos to Shecht for the Chayla Mesukan rather than to feed the Chayla Macholas Asuris. Why? Because the Heter to eat Macholas Asuris is a b'china of dechuya, as opposed to the heter to be mechal Shabbos. That's a b'china of hutra. So hutra, that's hakala kal tchila. The lesser of the two evils is to be mechal Shabbos, because pikoch nefesh on Shabbos, Shabbos is hutra legamre. Masheni kein macholas asuras. That's going to be dechuya. That's what the Rosh seems to explain. The end of Yuma. Other Rishonim gave a different explanation. There are famous explanations on this. Other Rishonim say, If a person is going to shecht the behemah, he will violate Chilul Shabbos once. He's shechting the behemah, and that's Netilas Neshama. A shechet is one of the Lamed Tesovos Melachos. It's an Issa Choma, it's an Issa Skila. Well, violate it once. If the Chod is going to eat the meat, he's not going to get better by eating just one kazais. He'll have to eat a few kazaisim. So to repeat an Issa Kal several times is more common than violating an Issa Choma once. That's a question philosophically. Is that true or not? So that's what some Rishonim say. Another Rishonim give a different explanation. The Chayla Mesukan is conscious. So you're going to tell him, we're not going to shecht for you. We're going to get some chazer from the trefa restaurant on the corner that's open today on Shabbos. The guy's going to throw up the food. He never ate chazer in his life. There's nothing wrong with the chazer. It's healthy. The Nochrim eat it and they survive. And they are nourished, has nutritional value. But still, you tell a religious Jew who never looked at chazer, he never tasted of chazer in his life, going to tell him, we're not going to be mechal Shabbos for you if he's conscious and he understands what's happening. So he's going to be very upset about this. So, and the attitude of the patient is usually very crucial in his recovery. So if he's going to be unhappy about eating the chazer, he may yet throw it up because he doesn't want to eat the chazer. So that may not help him get better. So the different explanations why, but that's the din. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that din. Shechna l'chayla b'shabbos. If the doctors say that the chayla needs some meat, some flesh to eat on Shabbos, and you have a choice of either giving him the veila meat or giving him or shechting a behema or today and giving him a kosher meat. So the Gemara says shechna l'chayla b'shabbos, and you don't give him the nevela, and we gave three different explanations for that din. Yeah. What are some of the other dinim that are important to know? There's a long bir halacha here in Siman. All these dinim are in Siman Shin Chav Ches. So there's a very long bir halacha. Where is this? Sif Dalad. So Mishin Chav Ches Sif Dalad. The Shulchan Aruch has an expression that when a person is a Chayla Mesukan, you're allowed to violate Shabbos. Osim lo kol she yugidam lasas lo b'chol. You do whatever. You treat Shabbos like it would be a weekday. So the Magid Mishneh comments based on the Lashon of the Ramban in the Torah Sodom. Ramban was a doctor. So he wrote a book that's called Torah Sodom. Torah Sodom talks about when a baby is born on Shabbos, what are you allowed to do? What Chilul Shabbos are you allowed to do to deliver the baby? Then when a person gets sick later in life, what are you allowed to do for the sake? When are you allowed to violate Yisurim to save a person's life? When is a doctor allowed to practice medicine? Not every doctor is allowed to practice medicine. He has to be qualified and so on. And what happens if the doctor is not successful and the patient dies? So he has all the dinim of ripping kriya. Then he has all the dinim of observing avelos. And once he has all the dinim of observing avelos, he talks about the dinim of Tisha B'Av, observing avelos in the 3 weeks and the 9 days, and so on. That's all from the Torah Sodom. Torah Sodom was not available for many years, and then Rabbi Zalman printed part of it, and then it was. Now it's available all over. Everybody has. So here the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Lashon. This is Lashon from the Ramban. Part of it is in the Ramban, but a lot from the Ramban. That when there's a Chayla Mesukan on Shabbos, you act as if it would be a weekday. You do whatever you would do on the weekday. What do you mean, whatever you would do? You have to do the surgery to save the person's life. But then when you stitch him up, you don't have to stitch him up on Shabbos to save his life. You can leave him the way he is. Do a poor job of stitching up, and then do it over again on Matzoy Shabbos. Do a good job. So why are you allowed to do Osin lo kol tzarachav kol mashu yigidim lasas b'chol? You do b'Shabbos. Why kol tzarachav? Not everything is really needed to save his life. So that's the chiddush that the Magen Mishnah points out from the Lashon of the Ramban. You treat the patient as if it would be chol. You're allowed to do everything and anything. So there's a long bir halacha, and he thinks we shouldn't follow this psak of the Magen Mishneh. He thinks it's against all the Gemaras, and he quotes one kasha, another kasha, another kasha. Quotes a lot of kashas, and he thinks, with respect to Malachas Daraisa, he doesn't think it should be permitted. He thinks maybe with respect to Malachas Darabbanan, maybe there's room to be made. Well, if the whole Malacha you're going to do is only going to be an Issa Darabbanan, then there's room to say Kol Tzarach, but not on Dinam Daraisa. So this is famous. I think we may have mentioned last time when we started learning these dinim, that this was Rab Soloveitchik. He used to say it over, and others say it over also. Rab Belbala Soloveitchik writes in his Sefer on the Rambam, as if this was his father's chiddush, as if Rab Chaim Paskin like this, that when you have a chola mesukan on Yom Kippur and he has to eat, so usually the practice is that you have him eat pachas mikashir. Why pachas mikashir? Chatzi shir is awesome in our Torah. But there's still a difference. If you only eat chatzi shir, then there's an isa deraisa, but there's no koris. If you eat a shir shalem, The shir shalom is eating. The shir is kosebes hagasa on Yom Kippur, and drinking the shir is malay lugma. Usually in Kol HaTorah Kula, when you talk about eating or drinking non-kosher foods and non-kosher drinks, so the shir for drinking is a revias according to the Rambam's opinion. Shir for drinking is a revias. Revias is the volume of a beitza or machza, an egg and a half. And the shir for eating is kazayis. And here by Yom Kippur, all the shirim are different. The shir for drinking is not a revias. It's a roiv revias by an adam beinoni. That's malay lugmav. If you would let the only one cheek would get filled up with the liquid, so that's a malay lugmav. Malay lugmav is a roiv revias by an adam beinoni, and it depends on each person's mouth. If a person has a bigger mouth, then malay lugmav is going to be larger amount. There's going to be has a smaller mouth. There's going to be a smaller shir. And the shir for eating on Yom Kippur is larger than a kezayis. Usually in Kol HaTorah Kula, shir for eating is kezayis to get malchus. And here on Yom Kippur, the shir is kosevis hagasa, which is bigger than a kezayis. So if a person eats a shir sholem tokadei achilos pras within a short period of time, then he violated an Issa Koris. If he has a chatzi shir now, he waits a few minutes, then he has another chatzi shir later, then he waits a few minutes, he has another chatzi shir. So chatzi shir is awesome in our Torah. You're only permitted to eat chatzi shir on Yom Kippur if there's at least a suffix sakana. If there's no suffix sakana, there's no heter. If the person just going to be nauseous and throwing up and whatever, he's not going to be feeling well, and he's going to be resting in bed, and he won't be able to dam. That's not called the suffix sakana. There's no heter for him to eat pachas mikashir. The heter to eat pachas mikashir is only if there's a suffix sakana. So, but if there's a suffix sakana, so why can't he eat a full shir? The answer is no. Whenever a person has to violate one of the din hator because of pikuach nefesh, then the Gemara has the expression, the end, the whole long sugi in the end of Yuma, the last perek in Yuma, machila mosa hakala kal tchila. Rather than eat the chelev, which has an isur kares, it's better to eat the truma. I'm not a kohen. It's better to eat the truma, which only has misa b'dei shamayim. Or it's better to eat the devil, which only has misa b'dei shamayim. Because an isur kares is more chomer than an isur misa b'dei shamayim. And rather than eat, let's say, the devil, which has misa b'dei shamayim, it's better to eat the chaza. Chaza only has an isur lav. There's no misa b'dei shamayim. There's no kares at all. So that's called machila mosa hakala kal tchila. So if you can save your life by eating on Yom Kippur, pachas mikashir, eat less than a shir, wait a few minutes, eat less than a shir, so what mi minstarf yachad, so that's a lesser iser, that's an iser of pachas. Chatzi shir is awesome in Ator, but there's no chorus, there's no malchus on a chatzi shir. There's one Tana Reb Shimon holds in the Mishnah at the end of Makkos, that kol shehula malchus, that if you eat b'mezid, a chatzi shir of treifus, you do get malchus, but we don't pass like Reb Shimon. We pass you only get malchus if you eat a shir sholem. Chatzi shir is, and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, machlek Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, where the chatzi shir is asam and ator, asam and the rabbanon. So we pass and it's asam and ator, but there's no chorus and there's no malchus on it. So rather than eat a full shir sholem, we say let him eat less than a shir. So that's the common practice that when a choyle mesukan has to eat on Yom Kippur, so or for let's say an older person, you're afraid he's going to fast, he's going to put himself into a situation of sakana. So why permit him to eat the shir shalem? The vasach is let him eat chatzi shir, wait a few minutes, let him eat another chatzi shir, wait a few minutes, and so on. He'll be just as healthy as if he would eat everything all the vasachas. So Rav Soloveitchik presented it in Isha Halacha. He wrote about Rav Chaim, that when Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, took his first rabbinical position in Europe, so Rav Chaim Soloveitchik made him promise with the Tkias Kaf. He shook his hands and he made him promise that he would paskan like his psak, that on Yom Kippur you only tell a person to eat pachas mikashir if he's a healthy person, and you're afraid that by fasting on Yom Kippur he may go into a suffix sakana. So then you say, let him eat pachas mikashir. But if the person already is a choylesh yesh bo sakana, he had cancer or something, he has a serious condition, and he's in the process of recovering, he's recuperating from it, then you don't tell him to eat pachas mikashir. Why? That's a din of kol tzarachav. Kol tzarachav is a din if a person is already a choylesh mesukan, then there are no restrictions at all. Then you let him eat whatever he wants. So Rav Belbel Soloveitchik quotes this, that his father passed like that. Truth of the matter is, I think we mentioned it last time that we learned, it wasn't really the psak of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. This was the psak HaMekubalim Valoshin, Rav Chaim Valoshiner. And when the Netziv wrote as a teenager, the Netziv came to Valoshin, I think, before his bar mitzvah. And then after his bar mitzvah, he married the Rosh Hashiva's daughter, the daughter of Rabitzala Valoshin. Rav Chaim Valoshin had already passed away. So the Rosh Hashiva was Rabitzala Valoshin, the son of Rav Chaim Valoshin. And as a teenager, he wrote this commentary on the Shiltas, on Einfal, to write a commentary on the Shiltas. And later on, it turned out that he became a brother-in-law of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Netziv's sister married the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan also wrote a commentary on the Shiltas. Every so often, he'll refer to his commentary on the Shiltas at Einfal. That in that generation, they were thinking of two people who turned out later to be brothers-in-law. I don't think they discussed it in advance. Each one on the broader commentary on the Shiltas. So the Netziv writes, when he came to the yeshiva, to Valojan Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Valojan was no longer alive, but the Nachlas David was still alive. And Nachlas David learned by Rav Chaim, Nachlas David and Baba Kamet, Baba Mansiya. Nachlas David learned by Rav Chaim Valojan. He was invited to come back to the yeshiva by Rav Chaim Valojan to give shiurim and Valojan during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Valojan. So the Nachlas David was still alive, and he remembers hearing from him that was the psak hamekubal in Valojin for years from Rav Chaim Valojin, that the first person already is a chayla mesukan, then you don't tell him to eat pachas miksha. He eats regular meals based on this Magen Mishnah, that a chayla he already is a chayla mesukan, and he's pulling himself out. Not that I'm afraid he may become a mesukan. He already was a chayla mesukan, and he's in the process of recovering. Then you treat it kachol. There's no restrictions at all. Truth of the matter, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah there in Hilchas Yom Kippur, it says it also. This whole vart says in the Mishnah Berurah that people usually skip that line in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says there are cases by your letters that the woman already is a chayla mesukan, who just had the baby. She already was besakana, and she has to eat, so she doesn't have to limit what she's eating. She could eat normally because a chayla mesukan, you can eat kol tzarocho. So Abelbala Soloveitchik writes that this was, he writes if his father, as if Rav Chaim Soloveitchik came up with this chiddush. Rav Kook used to paskan like this because he was close to the Netziv. He didn't go to Rav Chaim. There was a period of time that both the Netziv and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik gave shurim and yeshiva. They were co-Rashi yeshiva. So I think Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the Netziv gave shir. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik gave shir. And Shabbos, they would chazer. And each day they would learn approximately a blat gemara in the shir. They didn't go just five lines in a tesis in a shir. They covered approximately a blad gemara. That's how the Talmidim write their memoirs. I don't understand how it hung together. The Netziv gave shir on three blat, and the Rav Chaim gave on the next three blat, and the Netziv gave on the next three blat. Such a different style. How did it blend in? So some of the students only attended the Netziv shir, like Rav Kook, and some of the Talmidim only attended Rav Chaim shir. And a lot of the students attended both. They got both styles of shir. So Rav Kook, who was close to the Netziv, writes, that was the psak hamekubal in yeshiva from the days of Rav Chaim Valojin, as the Netziv himself writes in his commentary on the Shiltas. That's how he used to paskin also. But Rav Belbala writes, and Rav Soloveitchik used to say, as if this was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's chiddush, that you let the person eat on Yom Kippur, kol tzarocho, so Rav Belbala writes, people had tainus against my father, against Rav Chaim. Why is he so mekel? So he said, he's not mekel, he's machmer in Hilchas Bikuach Nefesh. He's mekel in Hilchas Yom Kippur, but because he's machmer in Hilchas Bikuach Nefesh is Decha Yom Kippur. Bikuach Nefesh Decha Kol HaTorah Kula, except for Avodah Zarah Gilui HaRais and Shvichas Damim, the rare cases where you say Yehoreg Val Yavar. But that's the din. Asfek Tzveka Bikuach Nefesh, you have to go L'chumer. So Rav Belbala Soloveitchik writes, he comes to answer all the kashas of the Bir Halacha here. So he says, the Mishnah Berurah apparently didn't understand the whole word of the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah only said it if the person already is a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana and he's in the process of recovering. Then the din is you do Kol Tzarocha. Then you eat, then you Machal Shabbos for everything and you eat normally. But if you're afraid the person may become a chayla mesukan, then he agrees that you don't do kol tzarach. There's only a hetter to be mechal shabbos or to eat on Yom Kippur to the extent that it's necessary to save his life. His hetter of kol tzarach is only if he already is a chayla mesukan. So he said that answers therefore emphasizes all of the kashas. So that's an important issue that the Mishnah Berurah paskens that the kol tzarach is only. He doesn't like that hetter. He doesn't like that Magen Mishnah. He thinks we should only, there's room to be Mekel on the Rabbanans, but not on Dinim Deraisa. You shouldn't be Mekel. And the Soloveitchik family insisted no, and that was the Netziv. The Netziv, not only the Soloveitchik family, the Netziv also. Right, that was a tradition of Balozhin from the days of Rav Chaim Balozhin. There is a famous Machloikis in Rishonim, the whole literature, and Shulchan Aruch doesn't say a word about it. What's the din if a mu'uberis, a woman is pregnant, and there's a suffix sakana, not to her, there's a suffix sakana to the fetus. It's a very rare situation today. Maybe it's more common, the doctors can tell you. Years ago, whenever the woman would be sakana, so the doctors didn't know enough about medicine to know that it's only a sakana for the uber, and it's not a sakana for the mother. How would they know so much? Whatever is, if the woman was in an accident, it would be a sakana for her life and for the uber's life as well. But officially, there is such a machlokes harishonim. What if the doctors assess the situation? They say on Shabbos, the woman was in an accident or eating on Yom Kippur. They say, the woman, the muberis, her life is not in danger. Only the fetus is in danger. It says, she'asa osam ha'odam v'chai eila mitzvahs achukim ha'mishpotem ha'shetziv ha'shem la'soysa osam v'chai bohem. So, maybe it only applies to people who are born already. V'chai bohem, v'lo she'omos bohem. A person is alive to remain alive, so then pikoach nefesh is decha kol ha'torah kula. But to be mechal al Shabbos, or to eat treifas, or to eat on Yom Kippur in order to save the life of an uber, so maybe that's not the Chisham. So that's a big issue. Taisvus and other Rishonim had a big machlek. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say a word. There's so much literature in the Rishonim about it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say. So I think they quote in the name of the Chasan Ish that since the klal is that Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh is the Chishabbos, so not only a Suffolk in fact, I'm not sure whether driving to the hospital will save the patient's life. He may die anyway. He may survive even if I would have driven him to the hospital after Shabbos would be over, even if I would have waited a few hours. So still the din is that Sofik Bikoch Nefesh Decha Shabbos, even a Svek Sveka. The Sofik is Decha Shabbos, even if it's a Sveka the Dina. So this is a Sveka the Dina, where the Bikoch Nefesh of an Uber is Decha Shabbos. So we usually assume that it is Decha Shabbos. The Netziv has a famous Chiddush in his commentary on the Shiltas. He has a Lashon, he's Medayik, a Lashon from the Bahag, I think, from the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. Usually the din is that Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTor Kula, even if it's only a Sofik Pikuach Nefesh. So here, there's a Mashmoes of a Lashon from the Halachas Gedolos that the Mu'uberis is only allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, so she's only allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, if there's a vadai sakana, and you think that by eating on Yom Kippur and by doing the Chilul Shabbos, it's pretty, it can never be vadai, but the likelihood is, it's karav levadai, the rov is, that it'll save the life of the uber. Why should you need, it should be a vadai pikoch nefesh, the din usually the sa pikoch nefesh, is the chakola tarakula. So the Netziv has a famous suggestion. He says, the Gemara had several Mekoris, several sources for this din, that Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTorah Kula. So one was V'chai Behem V'lo She'omos Behem. So V'chai Behem, he says, the Bahag is of the opinion, V'chai Behem only applies if the person is a Yolud. He was born already, so we want to extend his life, so then Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTorah Kula. But if the fetus wasn't born yet, so he can't say V'chai Behem V'lo She'omos Behem, he wasn't born yet. So the reason why you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos is because Chatei Bishvil Shetiske, Chatei Bishvil Sheiske Chavercha. The Gemara has in rare cases, not so much rare cases, we have every legal system has a principle that the ends justify the means. The only question is which ends and which means. So I want to steal money from the government in order to make a yeshiva. So the ends do not justify the means. Those ends do not justify the means. Or I want to cheat on taxes or something in order to be able to give more tzedakah. So those ends do not justify their means. Well, let's say a woman is in labor, she's having a baby, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and her husband has to drive her to the hospital. He's going to stop at the red light. If there are no other cars on the highway, he's going to go through the red light. And the police will call ahead. The police will call ahead and tell the other police that they should let this car go through all the red lights and don't bother them because the woman is in labor and let her go through. So there, everyone agrees that the end justifies the means. Pikuach nefesh is derecha kol tarkula. That's the ends justify the mean. Every legal system has a klal. The ends justify the mean. Just after minvar, which ends and which means. So the Gemara has in rare cases that chatei bishvil shetiske. You're allowed to, like, let's say, I will invest, I will make a risky investment. I'll invest $1,000, so I may get back 50%. I'll invest $1,000. I may get 50%. What do you call it?
A return.
Return. But there's a 50-50 chance that I'll lose my $1,000. So that's ridiculous. I should risk losing $1,000 in order to gain $500. That doesn't make sense. If I'll invest $5 I'll invest $5 and there's a 5% chance that I may make $1,000. Okay, so to risk $5 and there's a 5% chance that I may make $1,000, so I'll risk the $5. But you don't risk $1,000 because there's a 50-50 chance that that you get $500 in return. That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, there is a principle we learn out from a pasuk, Chalal Olam Shabbos Achas, Kedei She'ishma Shabbos Es Harbei. And the Rambam gives a mashal to understand what it's like. He says, sometimes a patient has gangrene set in a limb, and the doctors say, if you leave the patient the way he is, he's going to die. So rather than to leave him alone, we'll amputate that limb that has the gangrene, and the person will live. Maybe ask him, Shana, live without a leg. We'll put on a plastic leg. So sometimes you have to cut off a limb in order to save the patient's life. So the Rambam gives this as a mashal to understand the din of chatei bishvil shetiske. Sometimes we are permitted to do an avera lishma. That's gedola avera lishma. You have to do it lishma. It's not covered with the din. Sometimes you have din of eser derechah lo eseser, but not always. A lot of times you have the din of chatei bishvil shetiske, or a rare case of chatei bishvil shetiske chavercha. You have in any case where you wouldn't be able to apply, you wouldn't be able to say that eser derechah lo eseser. So there was one opinion in the Gemara that pikuach nefesh is derecha kol haTorah kula is based on chatei bishvil shetiske. So the Gemara says that's a nice idea, but chatei bishvil shetiske would only apply if it's a vadai. How do you know that even a sofek? You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, even though it's only a sofek or a svek sveker. There's a slim chance that you may save the person's life. That is not a smart investment. I'm going to invest $1,000 to possibly gain a risky investment. I'll invest $1,000. I may gain $5 dividends on it. You may gain $5, so you're going to invest $1,000. So that's why that pasuk is not enough. That pasuk that teaches us chalal olam shabbos achas kedei she'ishma shabbos es harbei doesn't apply if it's a suffix, only if it's a vaday. So that's what the Netziv interprets in this, the lashon of the Bahak sounds like he says, where the pikuach nefesh of the Uber is derech shabbos anah, it depends if it's a vaday. It can never be 100% vaday, but if it's al pi roiv, it seems that it will, being mechal Shabbos, will save the life of the Uber, then it's derech Shabbos. But if you hold pikuach nefesh of an Uber, is derech kol haTorah, let it be derech even b'makom sofek. So that's what the Netziv suggests. He's interpreting the Bahag. He says that din, the regular din of pikuach nefesh only applies if the person is a yolud, he was born already. Then you say, b'chad b'ayim v'lo shi'amus b'ayim, to extend his life. The Uber wasn't born yet. So to be Mechal Shabbos, to save the life of the Ube, he wasn't born yet. So it's going to be Mechal Shabbos to bring about that the Ube should be born and he should later on lead a life. So that's only if it's a Vaday. That's based on Chatei Bishvil Shetiska. That's the suggestion that he has. And he has it based on a Tosfos in the end of Bav Metzia, that the Gemara has one. We don't know who Eliyahu Hanavi was. What Shevet did he come from? So some are one opinion in about Pinchas Elio, that Elio Navi was the same person as Pinchas, then he was a Kohen. Pinchas was a Kohen. So the Tanakh tells the story that Elio Navi was Metame Lemeis, he was Mechaya the Meis. So Tosis has the Kasha, Pinchas Elio, so how was he allowed to be Metame Lemeis? So Tosis says it was Vadai to him, that he would save the, he would accomplish Tchiyas HaMeisim. Eliyahu HaNavi was Vada that he's going to bring about the Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Achreinim ask Kasha, why does it have to be Vada? Safek Pikuach Nefesh is also Decha Kol HaTorah Kula. So that's what the Netziv suggests. Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTorah Kula. If a person is alive, then you save a Chai Bohem, V'lo She'omus Bohem, to extend his life. If he's dead already, or he wasn't born yet, the Uber wasn't born yet, or the person died, you want to bring him back to life. That's not based on V'chai Behem Elo She'omus Behem. The fellow is dead. You want to bring him back to life in order that he should be able to do more mitzvahs. That's based on Chatei Bishvil She'tiske. Chatei Bishvil She'iske Chalech. That's a very good investment. So that the Gemara says, Chatei Bishvil She'tiske is only applicable the Mokam Vadai, but the Mokam Safek, you don't apply Chatei Bishvil She'tiske. Because you don't invest $1,000 in order to possibly, in a risky investment, in order to possibly make a $5 dividend on it. You don't run such a risk. So that's famous from the Netziv. Others say that that's not what Tosfos meant. That's too fancy an interpretation. Tosfos assumes everybody understands this. Nah, the Pasha Pshat is like this. If a person is dead already and someone's going to come, there's a suffix, he may revive him. It's not even a suffix. If it's not a vadai that you know you can bring the person back to life from the dead, that you can do tchias hameisim, so it's not even a suffix pikuach nefesh. I'm going to turn on the lights over here in New York City, and this will accomplish that a sick person in Bnei Brak is going to get better. What's the connection? It's a miracle. Well, what's the connection? He's going to do something to the mace. In order to bring it back to life, it's so far-fetched. Unless it's a vadai, it's not even called the suffix. That's the poshup shat in Tosfos. It's not even called the suffix, not because they're two different dinim. There's one din of pikoch nefesh, v'chai b'hem, lo she'amas b'hem, and there's suffix, pikoch nefesh is also dechad. And there's another din of chatei b'shul shetiske, and that's only b'mokam vadai. Maybe that's the pshat by the Uber, but the poshup shat in Tosfos is not like that. So that's a question. The Shulchan Aruch didn't say what the din is by the Uber. So I think they quote in the name of, I think in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chas, he quotes in the name of the Chazon Ish, that's covered with the din, that Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Kol HaTorah Kula. Whenever there's a Safek, not only a Safek in Metzias, a Safek in din also, since there's a Machlekes HaRishonim, Tosfos in Erechin and Tosfos in other places, whether Pikuach Nefesh of a Sakona, Safek Sakona of an Uber, is Decha Shabbos, and we have no Hachra, so that's called Safek Sakonas, Safek Pikuach Nefesh. So Safek Pikuach Nefesh is also Decha. That's the din that it's also Decha. Strictly speaking, Pikuach Nefesh of a Nochri is not Decha Shabbos. There is a questionable Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which some have interpreted to mean that Pikuach Nefesh of a Ger Toshav is Decha Shabbos. The Gemara says the Ger Toshav is Mitzvah L'Hachayosa. Mitzvah L'Hachayosa, Poshib Shah, in the Gemara, Mitzvah L'Hachayosa means it's a mitzvah to give tzedakah to the Ger Toshav. It does mean that Pikuach Nefesh of the Ger Toshav is Decha Shabbos. But there's such a line in the Ramban, it sounds like that. So some have written, they don't think that that's really Pshat in the Ramban. The Pashtus says that it's not really so. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Godim complaining against the Jewish doctors who are Mechallel Shabbos to save the lives of the Nochrim. He says there's no heter. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes, he's surprised that the Mishnah Berurah the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, and other Hungarian Rabbanim have tshuvas, but they write, they made a takonis hakehilas, that you have to be, a doctor has to be Mechal Shabbos to save the lives of the Goyim also. If the doctor is not going to be Mechal Shabbos, they'll make a pogrom. They'll kill a doctor, they'll kill all the Jews. What do you mean? What are you, crazy? The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva. The local doctor in Pressburg was a religious Jew. So once a non-Jewish farmer took sick, seriously sick, on Shabbos, and he sent one of the workers on the farm in a horse and a wagon to pick up the Jewish doctor. And he traveled many miles to go away, chutz l'tchum, and he was mechal Shabbos to save the life of the nochri. So people were upset. Why is the doctor mechal Shabbos? So the Chasam Sofer says, you have no choice. He's the local doctor. What do you mean? He's going to say, I don't mechal Shabbos for nochrim. They'll make a pogrom. They'll kill him. They'll kill all the Jews. You have no choice. So you have to be mechal Shabbos for the nochrim. You have no choice. It means if you already are a doctor, you can't say I'm not gonna save the lives of the nochrim. They'll kill you. They'll kill everybody. You have no choice. But strictly speaking, it's not that the pikuach nefesh of the nochri is derech Shabbos. It's the pikuach nefesh of the Jews, our own pikuach nefesh, that's derech Shabbos. Take for example, Shulchan Aruch quotes the din. I think it's the end of Shin Chof Tes, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the last sif in Simon Shin Chof Tes reads, Kol ha-yotzim la-hatzil is Hatzola, when they're Mechal Shabbos to save someone's life. So after they finished, are they allowed to drive back? So he says, Choizrim b'klei zeinom l'mkoimom. They went with weapons, the Tzahal, the army went to, there was a skirmish somewhere, and they called the army, and the army came, so they were allowed to come back to their army base carrying their klei zayin. They're probably traveling on the highways, so they're probably carrying the klei zayin. It's a hitzor deraisa, it's a malocha deraisa, so they're allowed to come back. So some of the Rishonim say that this is based on the concept that appears in the first parak in Beitzah, that hitira seifam mishum trilosam. If you won't allow the Hatzolah people to come back, then they won't be so eager to go in the first place. My life is not besakana. I should go ruin my whole Shabbos. The only time I see my wife and my children, and the only time I relax is on Shabbos. I take it easy. So you want me to spend a couple of hours? Want me to go save someone else's life and I should be stuck there in the hospital in Long Island and I won't be able to come back? I live in Borough Park. I don't want to remain on Long Island. I don't know anybody in Long Island. I don't want to go there. So you have to allow the person to come back because it is from Mishum Trilos and you have to allow him to come back. Otherwise, he won't want to go in the first place. So from the fact that the Gemara says they can bring back Klei Zeinom, they can come back with their weapons, with their rifles, with their carrying things. So it sounds like, all right, they didn't have tanks, so they're not burning gasoline. We assume that driving a car, Rav Chacham Avadia writes, driving an automobile on Shabbos is an Issa deraisa of Havara. You're burning the gasoline, and driving an automobile on Yom Tov is probably an Issa derabbanan. You're igniting the fire, mechadosh. So the Taz has a chiddush that moiladesh mechadosh, you're not allowed to strike a match on Yom Tov. So the Rambam says, because epshalasus mevod yom. So the Taz claims that that's an isa derais. Moiladesh mechadosh an isa derais. And all the Achranim disagree. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, most Achranim rejected the Taz. It's only an isa derabbanan, moiladesh mechadosh. You should have done it on Erev Yom Tov. You shouldn't do it. So to drive a car on Yom Tov, the pashtus is that it's moiladesh mechadosh. You're igniting the fire. And that's in its l'tzarach hayom k'tzah. So just like havor is mutar l'tzarach ha'ochal nefesh, mitoch shu'ut to l'tzarach ha'ochal nefesh, if there's a tzarach hayom k'tzah, he has to drive the car to get somewhere. So if they're going to drive back here, we're talking hilchos Shabbos. Could drive the car back on Shabbos, drive the tank back on Shabbos is probably a melocha deraisa. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any tanks, but the carrying of the klei zayin is like, so they're carrying on a highway. And highways, probably it's a Vishus Rabban Deraisa. So that'll be a Malacha Deraisa. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you see from this Gemara that Hitiru Sofim Shum Trilosim, we allow the Hatzolah people to come back. They can even drive the Hatzolah van themselves. They don't have to have a Nochri. Not only Amir and a Nochri, which is only the Rabbanon, not only they say Hiti Rusov from Shem Tchilosam on the Rabbanons, even allow Hiti Rusov from Shem Tchilosam on Yisurim Deraisim. This is Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach published the whole Tshuva disagreeing with Rabbi Moshe. This is the Tshuva where he has the title of the Tshuva and then he has an asterisk and then he writes in the footnote, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein gave him permission to print the Tshuva disagreeing with his opinion. He can't publish a Tshuva disagreeing with Rabbi Moshe without asking Rishus from Rabbi Moshe. So Rabbi Moshe gave him permission to print. So he said, how can he say that? The Morgan Avraham quotes all the Rishonim in Beitz on the first paragraph. The Gemara says there's an idea on Yontif. In order to encourage people, years ago they didn't have refrigerators. So in order to encourage people that they should shecht behemoth on Yontif in order to have flesh, not stamp to have chicken, to have flesh. So you have to be matir a certain dinim in order to encourage them. If they're just going to shecht the behemoth, shechit and storch al chanavish, then they're going to salt the flesh, then they're going to cook it, broil it, whatever. And what's going to be with the hide? The hide is going to get ruined. So there's going to be a hefsed mammon. So they may not want to shech the animal on yanta because they're going to lose the value of the hide. So you have to be matter a little bit, but ibud to do work on the hide to convert it into leather, that it should be of value, is a malacha. Ma'abid is a malacha on Shabbos. So sometimes ma'abid is only made the rabbanon. Sometimes it's an isa deraisa, sometimes the rabbanon. So the Gemara says, in order to encourage people that they should shecht on yantav, so he tirusov from shem tchilosam with mekel and certain dinim the rabbanon. So the shita mekubetzes on beitza is a likut of rishonim. So the shita mekubetzes says that we only allow he tirusov from shem tchilosam on dinim the rabbanon, not on dinim deraisa. The Chalkas Yoav also has like that. So his brother Chalkas Yoav was a Talmud chover of the Avnei Nezer 100 years ago. He was also a Chassidus Rebbe. So he's bothered with this, but it says Chazim Leklei Zainam Lemkayma. They can come back. They can carry their weapons with them. I saw on the highways a Malacha Deraisim. So he says he doesn't know the answer. That was Rav Moshe's Haychocha. You see from Klei Zainam that even Dinim Deraisa also you say Hetirusov from Shum Trilosim. That it's called pikuach nefesh. Bishum trilosam, it's called pikuach nefesh b'soifam. Bishum trilosam, it's called oichal nefesh to do the ibud on the hide is considered oichal nefesh because if you won't allow him to do the ibud on the hide, he won't want to shecht it in the first place. So itirisam shum trilosam. It's all part of pikuach nefesh. It's all part of oichal nefesh. So the Chalkas Yoav assumes, like the Mogen Avram, like the Shittim Mekubetzes, you only say Hitirusov from Shum Tchilosim on the Rabbanon, not on Dinim Deraisa. So how come they can take back Klei Zainam? So he says, Tosis writes on the first daf in Masechus Shabbos, Beis Amin Aleph, that the 39 malachas, the last one is Hoitzoah. Hoitzoah is really a malacha grua. Because all the 38 malachas, you're doing some created activity. Chayrish Hazareh HaKoitza HaDosh HaMa'ameh, you're really doing something. Zecha Lebi HaShemayim Ba'aretz. Rabbeinu Shalom did creative activity when he created the world. So we're not allowed to do creative activity. Zecha, we want to remember always the story of Bria HaShemayim Ba'aretz, that we should remember that the Rabbeinu Shalom created the whole world and he's the Adon Olam and we have to listen to follow his mitzvahs. So Hoitzoah, it's the same object. Instead of being one Rishus, you take it to them. She really didn't make such a big Chiddush. It's more useful. I'm going to carry the handkerchief to where I want to go. I need it there. I don't need it here. So I am accomplishing something, but it's not really such creative activity. So that's what the Tosfos and a lot of Rishonim say. Hoitzoah is a malacha grua. So Tosfos says it's a malacha grua. That's why I need additional psukim. I wouldn't have known that. Has told us I wouldn't have known this. Tosa says it as havaminis. I would have thought that is different. So kamash malon, I need psukim. But after achrei kechlos hakol, after they have all the psukim, the pashtus is that haitzah is the same as all the other 38 malachas. So the Prima Gadim says it's not true. There are differences halacha lemaisa. There are differences halacha lemaisa between haitzah and the other malachas. So that's what the Chelkas Yoav suggests. Maybe because haitzah is a malacha grua, so maybe that's the one and only exception to the rule that we allow Hitirusov from Shem Tchilosam, even on a deraisa. Maybe on the other 38 malachas, you only allow Hosov from Shem Tchilosam on the Rabbanans. Maybe Hatzoh you allow it. So he writes in his Sefer, If anybody has a better explanation, please let me know, and I'll include it in the next edition of my Sefer. I don't know if anybody came up with that. They have published new editions of the Chelkas Yoyov. I don't think they have any new suggestions over there. But so the Chasam Sefer has a tshuva. This had the Hetira Sofim Shem Tchilosim is for the Hatzolah people. We allow the Hatzolah people to come back. According to Ramoshi, they can even drive the Hatzolah van themselves, and according to everybody else, according to Abshlem Zalman Aybach, and all the classical posts, we only allow Hetira Sofim Shem Tchilosim on the Rabbonins if you have a Nochri who's going to drive you back. So this whole Heta, Hetira Sofim Shem Tchilosim, only applies if the Hatzolah person went on Shabbos. Let's say he's a doctor in the hospital, and his time that he has to be there is from Friday afternoon till Shabbos morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. So what do you mean he tears himself from Shum Trilosim? If he wouldn't come Friday afternoon, they're going to fire him. Of course he has to come. You don't have to encourage him that he should come. If he doesn't come Friday at 12 o'clock, they're going to drop him. They'll get a different... if he's there already, the only time is he tears himself from Shum Trilosim if I... to encourage me that I should go on Shabbos to save someone else's life, where I don't have any encouragement. Let's say my life is in danger, so I'm going to drive to the hospital to save my own life. Then you're going to say, Hitiru Sofim Shum Chilosam. They allow me to drive back, even Ayidei Nochri. They allow me to drive back home with the Nochri on Shabbos in order to encourage me to go on the first. You have to encourage me to save my own life. So the Chasam Sofer thinks that Dovah Poshut, you save your own life, there's no heter of a tira sofim shem chilosam. Only if you're going lahatzel someone else. So if it's a Jewish doctor and he's going for pikoch nefesh of a nochri, pikoch nefesh of a nochri is not decha Shabbos. The whole reason why it's decha Shabbos is because it's my sakona. Because if he doesn't go, they can make a pogrom, they're going to kill him. So whenever his life is in danger, then you don't have the heter of a tira sofim shem chilosam. Whenever the doctor went, that's what the Chasam Sofer writes in the tshuva. Whenever the doctor went to save the life of an Ochri, and that was a Takonas HaKehilas in Hungary, that we consider that a suffix Sakona on all the Jews, a suffix Sakona on the doctor. So whenever he went to be Mefakech Nefoshes or an Ochri, that's really to save his own life, ultimately to save his own life. So then there's no heter of Hetira Sofim Shem Trilosim. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Menachos and Perek Reb Yishmael. A funny Gemara. A person is Ochel Sheish B'Sakona on Shabbos, and the doctors say, yeah, theoretical case, never going to come up. And the doctors say he needs two apples. He has to eat two oranges freshly picked from the tree right now to save his life. So they go, someone runs to the tree, and he can either pluck off one orange over here, one orange over here, to do two acts of ktsira, because the doctor said he needs two oranges with pikuach nefesh. Or he can break off a branch, but the branch has three oranges. So the din is hakala kal tchila. So which is hakala kal tchila? On the one hand, here there are two acts of ktsira. Here there's only one act of ktsira. But so the one act of ktsira is less than two. But on the other hand, if I break off the one branch that has three oranges on it, so then I'm violating ktsira three times over because I have three oranges. And the other way, if I'll do two ktsiras, I'll only have two oranges. I won't have more than he really needs. So that's a sofik in the Gemara. The Gemara raises the question. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, no. It's better to break off the one branch that has the three oranges rather than to do ktsira twice. So from the fact that the Gemara and Ahava Amina, the Gemara thought possibly it's preferable to do two ktsiras rather than to do one ktsira with three oranges, that's what we call marbe bishurim. I have a het to pikuach nefesh to do ktsira and two oranges because this funny case, the doctors say he needs two freshly picked oranges to save his life. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this. So the fact that the Gemara entertained a Havamina in the second daf in Perek Rabbi Shmuel and Menachos, the Gemara had a Havamina that maybe it's preferable to do two Ktziris rather than to do one Ktzir with three oranges because there's no heter on the third orange. So you see from the Havamina of the Gemara that the held up Marba Bishurim is an Issa Deraisa. You only have a heter Pikoch Nevesh on two oranges, but you're only doing one act of Ktzira. So let's say there would be two branches. There's one branch that has two oranges, one branch that has three oranges. So we say, break up the one branch that has two oranges. Why break up the branch that has three oranges? What if he does break up the branch that has three oranges? Did he violate an Issa Deraisa? Did he only violate an Issa Derabbanan? Marbe Bishurim, he had a heter Pikoch Nevesh to do a Ktzira. He's only doing one Maisa Ktzira, but he's having the volume, he's having three oranges instead of two. So it's Marbe Bishurim, and Issa Deraisa, and Issa Derabbanan. So the Gemara in the Havamina clearly entertained the Havamina that Marbe Bishurim is an Issa Deraisa. The question is, when the Gemara comes to the Maskana that it's preferable to break off the one branch that has the three, as opposed to plucking off the two separate oranges, was the Maskana Sagamara no, that Marbe Bishurim is only an Issa Derabbanan, so Akala Kaltchila means do the Issa, only cut off the one branch that has three, rather than to pluck up the two oranges separately. Or maybe the Gemara's Havamina remains in the Maskana also, that Marbe Bishurim is only an Issa Derabbanan. Marbe Bishurim is an Issa Deraisa, but still, the lesser of the two evils is to do the one Ktzira as opposed to do. So it's a little unclear what was the Maskana Sagmar. The Havamina clearly was that Marbe Bishurim is an Issa Deraisa. It's not clear what the Maskana was. So the Rashba in Beitza poses a stira. There is a Gemara in Beitza on Daf Yud Zayin that if a person, let's say this Yontav, everybody was in isolation, nobody had any guests. So let's I had my tiny little sukkah. Instead of making a big sukkah, we only made half the size of the sukkah. I was eating in the sukkah with my wife. There were no guests. So my wife, let's say my wife cooks everything before Yom Tov. So let's say she would want to cook on Yom Tov. It's only me and her. So she's going to take, let's say, a piece of meat from the freezer or from the refrigerator and cook it on Yom Tov. She can take a piece of meat that's enough to eat today. She can take a bigger piece of meat that's twice the size, and she'll, with one, the same picking up of the hand, she'll put it in the pot, put the pot on the fire, and do one bishul. But we're only going to eat half of it. We're not going to eat the whole thing. The rest we plan to eat after Yom Tov is over. We're not going to eat the whole piece of meat. So that's Marbe Bishurim. So the Gemara says, Marbe Bishurim on Yom Tov is mutter. If you want to, let's say, have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, there's no heter echal nefesh. There's nothing to talk about. On Yom Tov, there's a heter echal nefesh. So I want to hold the kettle under the faucet and fill it up with water. But I only plan to drink one cup of tea on Yom Tov. The rest of the hot water I'm going to keep for Matzah Yom Tov. I want to have tea on Matzah Yom Tov. Am I permitted to fill up the whole kettle full of water and cook the whole kettle if I only plan to drink one cup of water? You're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Chol. But over here I'm cooking a big kettle full of water. Part of it I plan to drink on Yom Tov. Part of it I plan to drink after Yom Tov is over. So the Gemara says that that's mutter. That's permissible. Marbe Bishurim is mutter on Yom Tov. So how come here the Gemara says in Menachos, Marbe Bishurim is also on Shabbos? So the Rashba answers that the Havamina of the Gemara Menachos was that Marbe Bishurim is an Issa Deraisa, because the Gemara wasn't sure which is the lesser of the two evils, to pluck two individual oranges or to break off one branch that has three oranges. So the Gemara was Mesupik, they're both in it. Here you're doing two Ktzira, here you're having three oranges. And Gemara thought Marbe Bishurim is an Issa Deraisa. But once the Gemara came to the conclusion that it's preferable to break off the one branch, to do the one Ktzira with the three oranges, that's what the answer was, that Marbe Bishurim is only an Issa Derabbanan, and that's why that's Hakala Kal Tchila. So Marbe Bishurim is only an Issa Derabbanan, they only introduced it on Shabbos. And on Yom Tov, they never introduce Marbe Bishurim. So whenever you have a heter on the basic amount, have a heter on Yom Tov of Boichon Nefesh, a heter on Shabbos of Pikoch Nefesh. When you have a heter on the basic amounts of Minat Torah, if you're going to do everything with one Maisa Malocha, Minat Torah, you can have a bigger volume. It's not duplicating. It's not considered as if you're doing the Avera many times over. it's midirabbanan. There's a chumah not to do marbim shurim, and this chumah midirabbanan was only introduced on Shabbos, never introduced on Ayanta. That's the Rashba. The Ran on it on Beitza. The Ran on the Rif on Beitza on Daf Yud Zayin, where that Gemara is, quotes the Rashba and disagrees. He thinks that it's a different difference. He says it's not. He says you see from the Gemara is Havamina and the Gemara Menachas that marbim shurim is an isa deraisa. And to say that's what the Gemara backed out, Lamaskana, it doesn't say like that. The Gemara was Mesupik, is it Haka, which is Hakala Kaltchila, to pluck two oranges separately, so you don't have Marbe Bishurim, or to do one Katsira that has three oranges, which is the lesser of the two evils. So you see that they're both in Issa Deraisa. So he says the Gemara never backed out, the Gemara just came to the Maskana. The marbe bishurim is the lesser of the two evils. It's better to break off one branch that has three oranges rather than to pluck off two separate oranges. The Ran holds against the Rashba. The marbe bishurim is an isa deraisa. So why doesn't it even apply even on Yantav? So he says, no, there's a fundamental difference between pikuach nefesh and oichal nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is doiche kol atarkul. It's only doiche. So it's only doiche to the extent that you need it. So marbe bishurim by pekach nefesh is an isa deraisa. There's no heter amor. But echal nefesh on yontev is hutra, heter gomor. It's not the chuya. So not only is a hutra, heter gomor to the amount that you, to the extent that you need it, I'm going to cook a whole kettle full of water. I only need one cup of water today. I want to have a whole kettle, so I'll have to drink hot water on mitzvah yontev as well. So that so that's only mutter on yontev. Because on Yantav, because Eichel Nevesh on Yantav is Hutra, so Hutra makes it that even Marbim Shom would also be Mutam. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes that if you have the choice, that's a funny case, it's a rare case. You have the choice of either plucking off two individual oranges, or breaking off a branch, one Katsira that has three oranges. So it's preferable to do the one Katsira with the three oranges to be Marbim Shurim, rather than to pluck off the two separate oranges. But that's a machlekes, the Ran and the Rashba, whether the Issa Marbe Bishurim on Shabbos, is that an Issa Deraisa and Issa Derabbanan. The Ran thinks the Rashba thinks the whole prohibition of Marbe Bishurim. If you had a heter, whatever the heter was, whether the heter was Pikoch Nefesh or Eichel Nefesh, if you had a heter for a basic amount, then the Marbe Bishurim is only an Issa Derabbanan. They only introduced the Chumra on Shabbos, not on Yantar. And the Ran disagrees, says, no. Marbe Bishurim on Yontif is Mutter because it's Eichel Nefesh, it's Hutra. And Marbe Bishurim on Shabbos is Asa because you're talking about the Heter of Pikoch Nefesh. Koch Nefesh is Dechuya and it's not Hutra. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, by the Gemara has a din. Amir Lenoch is usually not allowed, but Amir Lenoch M'mokam Cholu She'en Bo Sakone is allowed. If a person is a bori with a mechesh bialma, person is basically healthy, but he has a mild headache or he has a mild ache and pains. So not only are there no heterim, the chachamim introduce an isa, you're not allowed to do refuah. Refuah is exerish, shami yishachik samim on him. That's what one of the gdolim who lived about 100 years ago wrote in his sefer, that he thinks that maybe we can be matter the isa refuah bizman hazeh, because the whole reason doesn't apply. The whole chasha shemi kzeri shemi shachik samamonim. They grind it up in the factory. Nobody grinds it up at home. So when you take a pill on Shabbos, on Yontav, you're not going to grind. Since the whole reason for the kzeri doesn't apply, the whole kzeri should fall apart today. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about that. He said, we don't understand Tosfos has such a heter. The Gemara says you're not allowed to play music on Shabbos and Yontav. You're not allowed to dance on Shabbos Yontav, you're not allowed to play losing, you're not allowed to clap to keep a niggin. You're not allowed to because Gzera Shemi Yisak and Kleshir. So Tosfos comes up with a heter that is manazeh, everything is muta because our musical instruments are so complicated. A head yot would not be able to be Misak and the Kleshir. Have to call a piano tuner to fix the piano. It's not always the case. The people who play the guitars, I think they do know how to fix the guitars. My wife does know how to fix she knows how to play the piano, she doesn't know how to fix the piano. So she has to call the piano to her. I don't know. So anyway, so Tosfos writes like that. Rav Soloveitchik said, Aloshin, Ala Rishonim Ana Mitzdarim. We don't understand the heter that Tosis gave. Why they say you're allowed to dance and you're allowed to clap as manos, that's a shver, a heter. Why they say it's been mismal. So we have the lalos of Allah. He thought he was not happy about that heter. How come some of the Gedolim 100 years ago, I think Rabbi Ram Chaim Noah has it in his, he put out the Ktzois of Shulchan, comments on the Kitz of Shulchan Aruch. So he writes that maybe today there's room to be make on Refuah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the whole Issa shouldn't apply. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was very upset. He didn't like that heter. Why should, isn't that in violation of the din? Whenever the Chachamim make Gzera de Rabbanon, that was made, instituted for a specific reason, even if we live in a generation where the whole concern, the whole chashash doesn't apply, the Gzera de Rabbanon doesn't fall apart by itself. You have to convene a bezin, and the bezin has to be able to repeal that Gzera de Rabbanon. It doesn't fall apart by itself. So why all of a sudden do they think over here it falls apart by itself? So we gave, I don't remember if we mentioned that last time, we gave a bit of an explanation. There is a Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah says that when the Kohenim Duchen, you're not allowed to look at their hands. So that because there's a concern, it's not proper to look at the hands of the Kohanim. So that's why the Chachamim made a Chumrah with the Rabbanah. The din is that a Kohen who's a Balmum is not permitted to be Makar Karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. But a Kohen who's a Balmum is permitted to Duchen. Not all the dinim of Kohanim, Hechshe Kuna, a Kohen who drank Kiddush on Simchas Torah morning is not allowed to Duchen. That din carries over from Avoida, from Hakrobas HaKarbanis, that carries over to Duchening. But the din of a Balmum does not carry over. So Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you know? Why is it that a Shikr is not allowed to Duchen, but a Balmum is permitted to Duchen? So that's a discussion. Is that a din deraisa, a din derabbanan, that the Shikr is not allowed to Duchen? Many Mishanim hold it's only the Rabbanan, because all the dinim of Kuna do not carry over. And others hold, no, it is a difference on the level of the I said, Shasur Revius. If the Kohen drank schnapps or wine, he's not allowed to duchen, that's their Isa. But if he's a Balmum, he is allowed to duchen. Whatever. So the din is that a Kohen Balmum is permitted to duchen. So nonetheless, the Mishnah Megillah has Exera the Rabbanah. If the Kohen has Mumin, the pun of Yodav Raglev, he's not allowed to duchen because this will draw attention. People are going to stare. They're not used to seeing this fellow's Mum. And they may stare at his hands, and that's not proper. So the Shaila came up. Rabbi Yosef Kara raised the issue in his Kesef Mishnah, in his commentary on the Rambam, on the Mishnah Torah. Bizman Hazeh, during his lifetime, they started this meaning that the Kohanim cover their hands when they duchen. So you can't even see the hands of the Kohanim, unless you crawl under the talus. So you can't see the hands anyway, so maybe the whole Gzera de Rabbanah no longer applies Bizman Hazeh. Maybe Bizman Hazeh, a Kohen has Mumin, but Panav Yodav Raglav should be permitted to duchen. So the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam raises the question. Apparently he wrote to Shulchan Aruch at a later date. So in the Shulchan Aruch, he paskens lahakel that the Gzera de Rabbanan doesn't apply anymore. So the question is, why? But it's a dovish of minyan tzach meinach al atirai. When the Tanoi made the Gzera, they didn't have that meaning that the Kohanim cover their hands. So once they made Gzera, even if you live in a generation where the whole reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, Gzera should still apply. So we suggest that maybe the answer is as follows. The Mishkan, as Yankev, has a very good tshuva, that whenever the Gzera de Rabbanan is ba'akiras dovim and atorah, whenever the Chachamim are telling, like over here, the Chachamim are telling the Kohanim, don't duchen. When atorah the Kohen has mum, the Ponav Yod of Raglev is obligated to duchen. He's out. They say Kohanim. They're calling, the Chazan screams at Kohanim, is calling upon all the Kohanim that they should duchen. So the Chachamim say, whichever Kohen has mumin, Ponav Yod of Raglev should not duchen because of a whole consideration. So the Mishkan as Yankel says, whenever the Chachamim made a gzera, there have a few, like on Rosh Hashanah Shacholis B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to blow shofar. And Sukkot Cholis B'Shabbos, not allowed to shake a lulav. A few like that. Not so many, a few. Yom Tov Sheni, you don't wear tefillin. Also, Akiras Dov Min HaTorah. So whenever the Chachamim made a gzera de Rabbanan to be oiker a mitzvah min HaTorah, always B'Shabbos Al Ta'aseh. So then, it must be that the Tamak Gzera must have been incorporated into the Nusa Gzera. Usually the Tamak Gzera, whenever the Chacham make Gzera de Rabbanan, they have to have a good reason. But they don't formulate the Issa by saying, you're not allowed to blow shofar, you're not allowed to write with your left hand on Shabbos, because we're afraid you may forget and write with your right hand. We don't allow you to carry in a karmelos because you may forget and carry in a shusarab. They don't have to give the tam hagzera into the nusach hagzera. They just say you're not allowed to carry in a karmelos. That's all. You're not allowed to write. You're not allowed to do a malacha with your left hand, even al yidei shinoi. You're not allowed to do a malacha al yidei shinoi. Fine. But whenever the gzera the rabbanon is to be oiker and mitzvah and adonis, you can't just make a din. You're not allowed to blow shayf and Rosh Hashanah falls on Hashem. That's against the pasuk and the chumash. And all the dinim of the Rabbanon blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shebaal Peh on the level of the Raisis. How can it blend in if the Chumash it says you have to blow shofar even Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? The Rabbanon they say we don't permit you to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. So they have to incorporate the Tam. This is what the Mishkan and Yankov argues. You have to incorporate the Tam Hagzera into the Nusach Hagzera. You have to say we don't permit you, the Rabbanon, to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. Gzera. So then it can blend in to be part of the Torah Sheval Peh Minat Torah. So whenever the Tam Hagzera is incorporated into the Nusach Hagzera, then the whole din, the Klal of Dovah Sheminyan, Tzoch Menachal Atira, doesn't apply. So it could be that that's what the Mechaber held over here. Minat Torah, the Kohen Amam Mechuyiv to Duchen, even if they're Bali Mumin. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Even if the Kohen is a Bali Mumin, he still has to Duchen. And mid the Rabbanon, they say we don't allow him to duchen. So it must be that the Tam Hagzera was incorporated into the Nusach Hagzera. If Mishieshlo, a Koyin, Shieshlo Mummy, be part of Yod HaBaragam, is not allowed to duchen because of the Gzera, maybe it'll draw attention to the Mum and people will be staring at his hands while he's duchening, and that's disrespectful. That's not proper. So whenever the Tam Hagzera is incorporated into the Nusach Hagzera, so then the klal of Dovah Sheminyan doesn't apply. He proves that from the Gemaras. So the same over here. Apparently that's what the Rav Noah thought, that prohibiting refuah b'Shabbos is really akiras dov min haTorah, because on Shabbos there's a din of oinik Shabbos. You're supposed to enjoy yourself. So you're going to make a din with the Rabbanon. He's not allowed to take medication on Shabbos. But yeah, it's a mitzvah to suffer on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos, to have pleasant memories of Shabbos, to have pleasure on Shabbos, not to suffer. So when they made the Gzera de Rabbanon prohibiting refuah for the person who has mild aches and pains, it's really Bakira's Dov Menat Torah. You're right, the mitzvah of Oinek Shabbos. So maybe this Gzera of refuah had to be incorporated with the Tamak Gzera, incorporated into the Nusach Gzera. Maybe that's why the Sodom Gadol thought that the Bezman Hazel, the whole Gzeres Refuah shouldn't apply. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like it. Whatever the Hezbeh, he didn't. He said, Allah Rishonim Manim Mitzrayim are not happy with what Tosfos said, so we don't accept that either. He thought that the Gzeres Refuah still applies even Bezman Hazel. So they made a Gzeres de Rabbanon that for one who's a body with a Mechesh B'Alma, they made a Gzeres, you're not allowed to use any medications. If the fellow is a cholo she'ein bo sakana, cholo she'ein bo sakana means that he has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. So then the Gemara says, we allow amir l'nachri. We would permit amir l'nachri. So let's say you have a situation, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, you have a situation, the fellow on Shabbos, he has no food to eat, and he's a cholo she'ein bo sakana, and he's going to get sicker. He's really going to be sick if he doesn't eat food. So it says in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, we would permit Amira the Nochri. The Nochri should cook the flesh for him. He has raw chicken and raw meat. We would allow the Nochri to cook the food. So what happened to the Isser of Bishal Akum? So the answer is that we are Mekel. He's a Chodesh Shem B'Sakar, you have no choice. So we're Mekel, Bishal Akum is only an Isser de Rabbanan, that it may lead to intermarriage. So we're Mekel on the Bishal Akum. After Shabbos is over, there's no longer any need. Get a Jew to cook the food. So whatever food is, whatever chicken or flesh is cooked, was cooked by the Nochri on Shabbos, the Chol L'Shem B'Sakana was allowed to eat it. But after Shabbos is over, he's not allowed to eat the rest of the food that the Goy cooked. You have to give away the rest, to sell it, to give it away to a Goy. You can't eat it. But on Shabbos, he's allowed to eat. So that's an interesting discussion that they have here in the Shulchan Aruch. There is a Gemara in Psochim, in the second parak in Psochim. The Gemara talks about all the various macholas asuras, which ones are asa b'hanoah, which ones are muta b'hanoah. Ve'ilu, treifa is asa b'achila, muta b'hanoah, basa b'chalav is asa b'hanoah. So the Gemara says, whenever you have something that's asa b'hanoah, so if you have hanoah, shaluk ederach, let's say orlok, that's the exception to the rule, sharaniskal is asa b'hanoah. So if you get hanoah, shaluk ederach hanoah asay, in an irregular fashion, so then it's muta malator, it's only asa m'derabbanon. So the Gemara says, if one is a choylu she'en bo sakone, we would be makel that you're allowed to have hanoah shaluk ederach hanoah asa. Since it's only an isa derabbanon, so hanoah shaluk ederach hanoah asa would be muta. So they ran on the riff on that Gemara. It's in the Chops, in the middle of the second Perek and Psochem. So they ran on the riff says, there are those Rishonim who understood from this Gemara that if a person is a Chol Hashem B'Sakona and he's thirsty, and the only thing to drink is Stam Yenom, so since Stam Yenom is only an Issa D'Rabbanon, so just like drinking, just like to have Hanoah, Shaloka Derech Hanoah, so it's only an Issa D'Rabbanon, we allow it. B'makom Chol Hashem B'Sakona, so too, Stam Yenim is only the Rabbanon, we would be Mekel. So the Ran says there was such an opinion, but that's not the accepted opinion, and we pass on like the Ran. We're not Mekel. So how come we're only Mekel on Shaluk HaDerech HaNa'osa and Bishol Akum, and how come on Stam Yenim we're not Mekel? So the answer is just like in Hilchah Shabbos, we said, B'chol Hashem Sakana, we only permit them to violate Gzeris the Rabbanon. We don't permit them to violate Malachas the Rabbanon. When there's a Sakonis Aver, the Shulchan Aruch here in Simon Shin Chav Ches, there's a long sif where they quote four different opinions. Where is that sif? Sif Yud Zayin. Sif Yud Zayin is a very long sif. Chal Hashem B'Sakana. What's the din? So the four opinions, and then the Mechaber says, the Dibri Haswar Hashlish is near. We should pass on like the third opinion. Third opinion is the Ramban in the Torah Sa'odom. We're going to have to discuss that at length. So we pass on that for Chola She'em Bo Sakona, we only allow people to violate Xeris. For Chola, if there's Sakona Sever, you can even violate all the Rabbanans, even a Malocha the Rabbanan. For Chola She'em Bo Sakona, there isn't even Sakona Sever. Just they can't function normally. We only allow them to violate Gzeres de Rabbanon. So you have to know in Hilchas Shabbos what's a Gzeres de Rabbanon and what's a Malochim de Rabbanon. So the same apparently by Macholos Asuris, by Chol Hashem B'Sakana, we divide Macholos Asuris into two categories. Three categories. Some are Macholos Asuris ben Atoira. That's only mutter to eat if it's a Sofik Sakana or worse. Then there's Macholos Asuris ben de Rabbanon. And then there's things that are also because of Gzeres. So Bishol Akum is a gzera that it may lead to intermarriage. They never declared that it's Macholos Asuris Baharaya, that Bishol Akum, you don't need Shishim. It's Batal Bereiv. Why? Because you don't say Tam Kiker. You only say Tam Kiker by Macholos Asuris. Bishol Akum is not Macholos Asuris. It's a gzera. You're not allowed to eat it. There are several other dinim based on that assumption that Bishol Akum is not Macholos Asuris. And the same thing b'negeir to what was the other din? Not only Shaluk Ederech HaNa'asam. Shaluk Ederech HaNa'asam is Asam Ederabbanon. Shema he'll do it Kederech HaNa'asam. But Stam Yainam is a real Isam Ederabbanon. You're not allowed to drink Stam Yainam. There's an Iser, Yai Nesach is an Iser Deraisa. And Stam Yainam is called the Tikkun Rabbanon, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. They made a din like, they treated it as if it were Yayin Esach Macholos Asuris. So something is really Macholos Asuris when they're Rabbanon, you're not going to be Mekel for Chol Hashem B'Sakana. But if it's only a Gzeira, just like in Hilchah Shabbos for Chol Hashem B'Sakana, when Mekel, we allow all Gzeiras to alleviate matters for the Chol Hashem B'Sakana. So in Hilchah's Macholos Asuris also, whatever Macholos Asuris is only also because of Gzeira, then we will be makel by Chol Hashem B'Sakana. We'll have to discuss it more. There's a lot here in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, maybe I'll close with a comment on Parshas HaShavua. This week we start Parshas Bereishis. So the Torah says that the story about Cain, Cain killed his brother Hevel, and he realized that he's going to be punished. So the Torah has the expression, Cain realizes, Umiponecha esaser. Part of his punishment will be, he will have to leave the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then it says, Taka, that's what happened. Vayetze Cain melifnei Hashem. He left the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where did he go? Yoina Hanavi didn't want to give Nevuah, so he ran away he went on a boat to run away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Where can a person go to? Where is he going to go to? New Zealand, the South Pole, North Pole. Where are you going to go? There's nowhere in the world that you can go not to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees wherever you go. He sees where you are. So what does it mean? Cain understood his punishment will be Viponecha Esoser, and that's exactly what happened. So the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, writes, to daven is a schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. We can talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can be lifnei Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a schus. He gives us the right to bring karbonis. So whenever you bring karbonis, whenever you daven, one of these two, the person is mamish lifnei Hashem. So that's a big schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So Cain realized that this is going to be his punishment. He will no longer be permitted to daven. He will no longer be permitted to offer karbonis. And that's what happened. He was never allowed from that time on to have the schus to daven or to bring korbanos. There is an interesting medrash when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Nochash for convincing Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and Chava convinced Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So the Nochash was punished. So the medrash says when a basav adam wants to take nekama from his enemy who did him an avla, he'll destroy his marriage and he'll destroy his parnasa. He'll ruin him for life. He'll utterly destroy the person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very kind, and when he punishes those who rebel against him, it's not such a terrible punishment. He punished the Nochash. The Nochash eats to eat normal food, and now the Nochash eats offer tocha kol yimei chayecha. And even if he eats normal food, it tastes like offer. Okay. But on the other hand, the Medrash says he'll never have a dankas hapanos because wherever you go, there's always offer. A human being can't eat offer. So we have to, so if you got stuck on a desert island and there's no food to eat, what are you going to eat? You're going to eat the bark of the tree. You're going to eat grass. You won't be able to survive. So human beings and animals have to eat food, so you can't eat offer. But the Nochash, on the other hand, always has offer. If he goes to the rooftop, if he goes to a desert island, there's always going to be offer. So Makshim Ha'olam, Monsino Chayte Niskar. So it comes out that because the Nochash sinned, he never has a Daikans HaParnosa, so he never has to worry wherever he's going to go. There's always going to be food for him. He never has to worry about food. So what kind of a punishment is that? So it doesn't taste like ice cream. It doesn't taste so good. Everything tastes like offer, but he never has to worry about the food. So they say the name of one of the great Hasidish Tzadikim from generations ago that the right to daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the schus that we have the right to daven, is only if we need something, if we're missing something. If a person has everything, has the right to daven. So if we have a right to daven, we need parnasa, we need good health, we need shidduchim for our children, we need shalom bayis, we need the coronavirus should go away, we need there should be peace in the world, we need so many things. So we have a long tefillah where we list off all of our needs and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of all our needs. If all of the person's needs are taken care of, then he has no schus to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davening is not to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Derech Eretz dictates you have to start the davening with Shevach. You have to conclude with Hoidoya to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Modim Al Nachton Loch. But the essence of the davening is the middle part, Bakoshes Tzarochim. So if the individual has no Tzarochim and there's no Bakoshes Tzarochim, there's nothing to daven about. So that was the punishment of the Nochash. Since he'll never be lacking Parnose, so he has no schus to daven. To daven is a big schus. We take it for granted. We don't pay attention. We daven like mitzvahs hanashim elamada. We don't pay attention. We should really pay more attention. It's a gevaldei eschus. Yeah. And being in the state of lefnei Hashem is what engenders simcha. That's how Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, Samachta lefnei Hashem alakecha. The Chiyuv Simcha and Shalva Shigolim is because we have an inyan to be oil regal. We have a mitzvah to visit the Rabban Shalom. Even today we can't, but there's a Chiyuv. In principle, you have to be lefnei Hashem. Being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what engenders the Chiyuv Simcha. And Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that Kibun de Vizikorn Kaasi Kilifnim Dami. When you blow the shofar, even in New York, when we're blowing shofar, it's considered as if we're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When you blow shofar, it's a form of tefillah. So it's considered as if we're lifnei Hashem. And Yom Kippur also, we are lifnei Hashem. There's no shofar, and there's no aliyah l'regel, but the whole inyan of tshuva, rak ha-menasechem ho-yom abdilim b'neichem l'vein alakechem. The averes that we do are like mechitza shel barzel, that's mafsik between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on Yom Kippur, because it's Yom Mechilo Slicho, we have a special mitzvah to be chayzer b'tshuva, to take away that mechitza, to return, to be back lifnei Hashem. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik has in the Shurim, Nafkamin is based on this, that the Chiyuv Simcha is engendered by being lifnei Hashem. It's a schus that we have, the schus to bring karbonis b'zman amig, we have a schus to daven. And that was the schus that Kayan understood, that he's going to be missing that schus. Yitzchak lifnei Hashem doesn't mean he's going to go to some other continent, to a different country. No, it means he will never be allowed to daven. We should realize how fortunate we are that we have that schus, and to daven properly. Okay, Belineta, next week we'll try to get back to normal and to continue to learn this siman about the dinim of chayla, sheish besakana, ein besakana, and then we go back to learn Hilchas Shabbos earlier in Hilchas Shabbos.
Rav Schechter, I have a question.
Thank you.
Question, if I may, regarding Marbe Bishurim. So it actually comes up pretty often, at least for me. So suppose that there is Yontef followed by another day of Yontef, or Shabbos followed by Yontef. So let's say I want to take something with me in the morning of the first day, part of which I'm going to use, let's say, two bottles of wine. One of them I'm going to use during that same first day, and then the other bottle is going to be at night when it's already the next day. So can I take both bottles with me if they're going to be in one bag? So bottles of wine or any other food, can I do it if it's going to be in one bag, but two items?
You mean you have an Erev in the neighborhood?
Yes.
You have an Erev, so you're carrying it on Shabbos.
Right, or I'm carrying on Yontef, but part of the food is for the next day of Yontef, the second day of Yontef.
Right, so Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Ursameh both write, if I have a bag and I put in one bottle that I'm going to use today, then I put it in a second bottle. So putting in the second bottle into the bag, that's an act of hachana. The same thing, let's say the balabasta wants to cook on Yontef. It's only me and my wife. So instead of taking two pieces of chicken, putting in the pot, he's going to take one piece, a second piece, a third piece, a fourth piece. So the third and the fourth pieces are not for today. That's for tomorrow. So that's an act of hachana on the first day, let's say 2 days yontif. That's an act of hachana the first day for the second day that you're not allowed to do. What you're allowed to do, Marbe Bishurim, is instead of taking a small piece of meat, she'll take one large piece of meat. So you had to take one piece of meat anyway. So instead of taking the smaller piece, she'll take the larger piece. So that's called Marbe Bishurim. So if the person will put the two bottles of wine in a bag on Erev yontif, so he's not doing the hachana on Yontef. So then the question is, but he's carrying it. But the carrying is not, there's an Erev, so there's no Issur in carrying. Just a question that's not going to be Marbe Bishurim. There's no hachana. I didn't do any separate act of hachana. Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Ursameh both say, if you have a lot of different things in one bag, it's not called Marbe Bishurim. If you do ktsira, I break off a branch that has three oranges, and I only have a het to pikuach nefesh on two of the oranges. That's marbe bishurim. What's another example? I'm cooking a lot of water, and I only need a little bit of water. There's echal nefesh on pot, and the rest is marbe bishurim. But if you carry a lot of things in one kli, that's the Gemara calls that eged kli. Everything in the kli, hakli mitzarfon. the kli is mitzarv everything together, and it's considered as if you only did one hoitzah. So there is no marbe b'shurim. If you already put it in the bag before Yontav began, before Shabbos Yontav began, so that you didn't do an act of hachone on the first day for the second day. But if you're going to put it in, you're going to put one bottle at a time on Yontav, then each bottle that you put in, the second bottle is going to be an act of hachone for the second day. So one is not, it was not permitted to do hachone on the first day for the second day, even though there's no malacha. Just it's hachone, it's a different issue, yeah. Marbe b'shurim is a topic by malachas, not by hachone. Good.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Okay, Belinda, the next Tuesday night we will continue.
Wonderful. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.